This is Curtis Peoples conducting interview in Crossville, Tennessee on June 22nd, year 2002. If you wouldn't mind stating your name, please.
Yes, Eli Higgins. I was stationed with A Company, 2nd Battalion, 327th Airborne Infantry, out of Fort Campbell, Kentucky. I'm from Asbury Park, New Jersey, and by way of Cleveland, Ohio. I joined the service in Cleveland, Ohio. I ran away from home to join the service in February of 1958. By doing so, I made up my bed to look as if I was sleeping in it and left. And I didn't see my family anymore for 20 years. Took basic training at Fort Knox, Kentucky. Advanced training at Fort Dix, New Jersey. Jump school, Fort Bragg, North Carolina. That was the experience of my life. I went airborne specifically because of some brochures that I saw, which stated for men only. I was 16 years old at the time. It influenced me. After jump school, I was assigned to the 504th Airborne Infantry in Fort Bragg, North Carolina. And at the December 1958, the battle group did a gyroscope, as it was called then, which was one unit replacing another in Germany. We sailed on the USS Butner to Germany, and I stayed there for 2 years. Upon returning, I was stationed at Fort Lewis, Washington, on a non-airborne status. And when I was discharged in 1962, and upon my discharge, I remained out of service for several months and decided that that I wanted to go back in. I re-enlisted and was assigned to Fort Campbell, Kentucky, the second of A Company, 2nd 327th Infantry. This was 1960, late 63, early 64. And I remained with the company until we received orders to go to Vietnam, which was in July of 1965. The things that I remember most about that time was the secrecy involved in it. This secrecy entailed the troops not knowing exactly what was going on. However, it became quite evident that that we were going into a combat situation by the preparations that we were making. I knew that the only hot spot in the world at that time was Vietnam. The 173rd from Okinawa was already there, and also a couple battalions of Marines. So it was obvious what we were going to do. However, the cloak of secrecy was on. One of the specific incidents that I recall is our colonel, which was our brigade commander, having the entire brigade in formation and telling us that he had orders in a sealed envelope which was taking us out of the country, but he could not tell us where we were going. He wished us Godspeed and happy hunting.
When was this?
This was just prior to shipping out in July of 65. We shipped out on the 8th of July in 1965. Okay. And the joke around the barracks was that, heck, if we wanted to find out where we were going, all we had to do was go into town to Hopkinsville or Clarksville, because everyone knew where we were going. And but still, there was the cloak of secrecy. On the 8th of July, 1965, we boarded aircraft at the Campbell Army Airfield, and we flew to Oakland, California. And Now, I don't remember this specifically, but by reuniting with some of the other people who went over with me, they tell me that we spent the night there in Oakland before we boarded the ship, the USS El Tinge.
What's the spelling of the Tinge?
The El Tinge. The spelling is it was a USS ELTINGE. It's actually it's named for the General Leroy L. Tinge. He was a general, and this was the ship that it was named after. And we sailed for approximately. What comes to mind is it's either 19 or 22 days. It was a smooth sail, and I'm tall, and I this is something that I don't remember myself, but one of the troops that we have become reunited with told me that at least one day the ship was dead in the water, out in the middle of the sea. During that time, when we were well out to sea, maybe 8-10 days out, the brigade commander, Colonel Timothy, called us to attention and speaking over the ship's loudspeaker, or the horn, if you will, opened the envelope. It was, we laughingly say, it was, pass the envelope, please. And he told us what our destination would be. In fact, he said we were going to Vietnam, Cameron Bay, Vietnam. And again, he offered us Godspeed and happy hunting. Again, this was, to us, it was just something that we already knew. And so the rest of the voyage was very peaceful. We landed at Cameron Bay, and I think we stayed on the ship until the next day, and then we disembarked. Let me back up here. We stopped at Subic Bay in the Philippines, mm-hmm, for a brief period. At that time, we were able to get off the ship for half hour, 45 minutes. We were docked next to the Coral Sea, the aircraft carrier Coral Sea, and so that in itself was an experience, because we all knew of the Coral Sea from World War II and Korea. Anyway, we were able to walk around the military area of the Subic Bay for, like I say, half an hour, 45 minutes, and we had to get back on the ship and continue.
The ship, the camaraderie, I guess, being on the ship together, do you think they made it stronger going over that away?
Well, I don't know that the being on a ship, especially being used to being on land, built a lot of camaraderie. In fact, there were some pretty tense moments with each other because we were cramped, to say the least. And there were several shipboard fights that broke out. Nothing serious, of course. I also like to compare our experience in 1965 and our attitudes in 1965 with what evolved later with the political scene and the troops who were drafted into the service. We were well trained, and we expected to go over, and actually we wanted, we were loaded for bear. We wanted to kill something, and that was the attitude in 1965. Anyway, when we got to Cameron Bay and disembarked, we were allowed to acclimatize for about 2 or 3 days before we moved out to whatever we were going to do. Our first night in country was spent, well, after dark, whenever the bushes moved, we were firing at something. People were just that edgy and so on. Inexperienced. I, at the time, was the platoon radio operator, and it was my job to go from, we had dug in, and my job was to go from hole to hole and tell people that there's really nothing out there, and which is kind of a scary thing. I would walk from hole to hole saying, Hagen's here, and so on.
What was your rank at this time?
At the time, I was an E4. Mm-hmm. And as time went on, 2 or 3 days passed, and we left there, and we started patrolling the hills of the Central Highlands, as I recall. And around September, prior to that, we went to a place called Ankei, which was to be the base camp for the first air cab. The first air cab of the Idrain Valley fame, We Were Soldiers once. Mm-hmm. And we had to secure that area for them. So, which was around Highway 19, and we had to clear out any the enemy or VC pockets and so on that were there. And this was, in fact, my first experience with seeing Agent Orange being used. I remember looking in the sky and seeing a C-130 with a plume of orange dust. I thought it was dust or smoke trailing from it, and I remember asking what it was, and someone told me that was the foilant. And not knowing, I don't believe any of us knew at the time exactly what that entailed, other than that it would clear out the foliage. We went right in behind the spraying, mm-hmm. Hence a lot of the cases that are attributed to Agent Orange today. But anyway, we secured Ankei, and the first cab landed. I'm not sure of the date. It must have been either late August or early September of 1965. They landed in our areas, and they got off of the helicopters. It was always struck me as being rather humorous because they were just like us, I guess, all keyed up when they arrived, and they got off the helicopters and. They landed, and they were at a ready position, ready to shoot anything that moved. And the only people around at the time were us, who had secured the place, and we had to have them calm down. After the mission was over of securing Ankei, we moved out, and we saw our first heavy action in September of 1965. This was in, I think the province was called An Nim. I'm not sure, mm-hmm. but this was the second of the 502nd, which was a part of our brigade. There was when we left Fort Campbell, I might mention, there was three individual battalions. The first of the 327, the second of the 327, and the second of the 502nd. And getting back to our first action, the 502nd was what they thought was a training mission in a relatively safe area. They landed, and they landed in the middle of a VC training area, or actually a North Vietnamese regular army training area, and they became engaged. And at that time, we all, the first and the second of the 327, moved out to assist them. It was at this time that I saw for the first time the use of the Chinook helicopters, mm-hmm. and they were brought over, as I recall, by the first air cab, being an aviation type unit. We were an airborne unit, and we didn't carry the heavy type aircraft that the first cab carried. This battle lasted for 3 or 4 days. It was the first usage, to my knowledge, of the C-47, which came to be known as Puff the Magic Dragon. It was a gunship which had Gatling guns, which is multi-barrel machine guns, and also it was a flare ship. It turned the night into day for 3 or 4 days, and we were all very thankful for that. Today, I think the C-130 serves the same purpose in Afghanistan. After that battle, we moved out again, and we were in the hills of central Vietnam, having occasional firefights, and but there were just so many long days of complete boredom too. I was by the time we finally established base camp in Phan Rang, Vietnam, it was close to November of 1965. We had moved out from Cameron Bay in late July, and we didn't see a base camp until either late October or early November of 1965. This was about the time that the first cab had run into the I Drang Valley thing, and we did not participate in that, but at that time I think we spent a week or two in Phan Rang, and then we moved out again to a place near Ben Hoa, Vietnam, called Bear Cat, and this was called the Iron Triangle. And it was at that point we were starting to pick up a lot of action through our patrols and so on. We were securing an artillery position, setting up a perimeter for the 320th Artillery there, and we'd send out I forget the type of patrols that we sent out, but this all occurred around at the end of the year 1965. I specifically remember receiving a care package from home consisting of an electric razor, and it always I keep the picture today of this electric razor because it's just so funny that I get an electric razor and have nothing to plug it into, and so that struck me as rather humorous. We moved out from there to Tuiwa, and at this time we relieved a battalion of the Korean Marines. I believe they were Korean Marines. They were ROK, they're called the Rock Soldiers from Korea. And it was the beginning of more heavy action. Prior to that, we had done a lot of what they call the search and destroy missions, which was going into villages that known VC villages, and having the Zippo effect, which was simply burning down the village. We had lost several people, and one incident I particularly remember was a sniper, a VC anyway, coming out of a small hole and shooting a platoon sergeant, Sergeant Jan Cox. And even today, his folks, his children, who were babies at the time, are still trying to find out exactly how he died. I've actively participated in trying to give them as much information as I know. By the way, this is something that I do with many people over the internet. When they're trying to get information about people, I try to either put them in contact with people that I know who might be able to help them, or do it myself if I'm aware of that. But Tuiwa turned out to be my last episode in Vietnam. I was discharged around the 1st of April. It was my time for my ETS. I had started out as a career soldier, but I was having problems with the woman I was married to at home, and I decided that I would call it a day. And so that pretty much wraps up for me my tour in Vietnam. So. Today I've spent the last 20 years working for the Postal Service. I'm 60 years old. I'll be 61 next month, and hopefully next year I'll retire. And I come to these reunions. That's something too that I think I need to mention is that I through the internet about 2.5 years ago, I signed on to a website, which called Sapper Bob's website. It's a 101st Airborne Division website, and I was emailed by a person by the name of Dave Cook, and he got me in touch with the some people who were having an open mic type forum, and they were all brothers of the 327th Infantry, and that kind of brings me to where I am today. I've become heavily involved in it, and these reunions have brought a lot of healing for me. Mm-hmm. And I'm really appreciative of everything we do, and that's the reason I'm doing this interview, is because I'd like to share this with others. Thank you.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.